Stassi just threw a tissue in her cat's face.
No cats were harmed in the making of this podcast.
And I'm the one who's psychotic and afraid of animals.
She's so cute. Look at her.
We're on a podcast. They can't see her.
She's so beautiful and graceful and regal.
This is, in fact, a podcast, and hearing is important.
So I would like to make this ad all about how beautiful and precious my cat is, but that's not what we're getting paid for, so.
We're getting paid with these sweet, sweet studio headphones.
Studio. When you need to listen to stuff, listen to it through studio.
Super comfy, Scandinavian design, top of the line sound quality.
Your friends are going to be like, where did you get those dope and beautiful European headphones?
And you're going to be like, Europe. But they deliver internationally. For a limited time, you can get a 15% discount if you do CULTS15 with your order. That's CULTS15. Then you too can watch a cat while you listen to our dulcet tones.
And then you can email us and tell us how beautiful your cat is.
And Stassi will respond and probably hunt you down and throw a tissue at it. So let me run a scenario by you, Stassi.
Hit me with it, Miss George.
Say that you are in the desert of Sedona, Arizona.
Already I'm turned off.
Now imagine that you are waist deep in water in the middle of this desert.
All right.
And that on command, you and seven of your closest cult member friends plunge your heads underwater until you cannot breathe or hold your breath any longer. Then you break through the surface, shout a devotional song to your cult leader, weeping to prove your sincerity, and then you do it again.
I mean, that sounds like a normal Saturday morning for me, so.
Well, especially because, of course, this is going to save souls and rescue the world from annihilation.
Naturally, yeah.
That is just one story we have from today's cult.
Yes, welcome to Dawn Yoga. And as my mother says, I'll never do yoga at the dawn, only at dusk. She said that when she was leaving us to record. Did you not hear that?
I did not. Your family says a lot of things I don't understand.
But she was just trying to make a good, fun, clean joke for our podcast.
I appreciate that since we just spent the last hour recording our previous episode about Playboy bunnies.
Very, very sexy stuff.
Let's talk about the guy who got Dawn Yoga started.
Alrighty. I have a bad feeling about this gentleman.
Lee Sung-hyun was born on December 23rd. 1950 in Cheonan, South Korea.
I would wish him a happy belated birthday, but I think by the end of this podcast, we won't want to because he's kind of shitty. So, no.
In general, I don't like wishing the cult leaders happy birthday.
No.
Not even if they share my birthday.
Mm.
Which I don't think has happened yet.
Yeah, we haven't done that yet.
If anybody has a cult leader with the birthday June 27th or October 5th, let us know.
Because Hallie has two birthdays. You know who has the same exact birthday as me?
Who?
Elon Musk.
That's exciting. You know who has the same exact birthday as me? Tobey Maguire. Hashtag always my Spider-Man.
His dad was a teacher. I couldn't find out of what, and I didn't get anything from the mom about the mom.
It was early 50s in South Korea. This was also in the midst of the Korean War.
Yes.
So I feel like a lot of people were not keeping very good records.
Sure.
And statistically, it's likely his mother stayed home and tended with the children.
Yes.
Now, Lee says he was a bad student because he couldn't focus. Been there.
But Hallie, there is good news and hope for you yet. Because
really?
He claims to have overcome his ADD through training himself both physically and mentally.
There is a kernel of truth in that. I haven't tried the desert thing yet, but we'll see.
We'll try it. I've signed you up for some of his seminars, so.
Yes. It's only going to cost me $8,500.
I know, you're excited. And you should be.
So Lee eventually went on to train in Taekwondo and received a fourth degree black belt in this. You know why this is an immediate red flag to me?
Why?
Because I was raised in the American culture where the kind of people who brag about having a black belt in karate are unstable.
Yeah.
It always reminds me of guys who are like drunk and are like, you don't want to fuck with me, bro. I know karate.
Yeah.
I know karate and Taekwondo are two different things. No one tweet at me.
In the 70s. Lee graduates from Dankook University with a degree in clinical pathology and physical education. Now, it said he only got the one degree, so I'm not sure if this is, like, two sides of the same coin, or if it's a double degree, or, like, whatever.
But I think it might be, like, my integrated marketing and communications. It's sure. Just the word "and" is in the degree, so it confuses people. Okay.
So, he opens up a health clinic and begins a family. He gets married and...
It sounds like he's doing great. If only he had stopped there.
Oh my god. That's how so many of these should have ended.
Wouldn't that be great if we're like, and that was it. And that was our story about a random Korean man.
He was still desiring something more. Maybe complete control over a tiny population of people. So, in his early 30s, he comes up with an idea for a retreat just for himself. He goes to a mountain in South Korea and spends 3 weeks just meditating. He does not bring any food with him. He does not allow himself to sleep or lie down, which sounds truly awful. And it is here during this 3 week retreat for himself where he claims to have reached enlightenment.
I am having trouble understanding how this is physically possible.
Yeah, 3 weeks. Here, it said he didn't have food, so I don't know if that means he didn't eat for 3 weeks, which is definitely seems very unlikely, or if he just scrounged for, like, nuts and berries in the forest.
I'm going back to your sleep thing now, because I read that
11 days of no sleep, and you're certifiably insane.
And that's the record.
Yeah.
Anyone other than that has died.
Yeah. So clearly this is not true.
We're just gonna stamp that with Hallie and Stassi's not true button.
Stamp of bullshit. Oh god, we need to get an actual, like, stamp that says that.
Oh man, someone make that for us.
At this point, after this enlightening trip to the mountains, he changes his name to Ilchi, which means finger pointing to the truth.
Another red flag when they start changing their names.
Never a good sign. You know, I had a crazy aunt who kept changing her name. She was never a cult leader.
That you know of.
I don't think she had much charisma, but she changed her name to Anastasia at one point.
After you were born?
No, I don't think I ever met her. I think this was before I was born.
I was going to say that would be even weirder.
But I think her name was also Corinne, so I'm not sure what her real name was and what it was when she died. Like, I don't know. I didn't get the full blow-by-blow, but... Like,
what would your cult name be?
Oh, God.
If we ever do a live show, that's going to be the question we ask the audience. Mm.
What would their cult name be? Well, I guess it will depend on what our cult is. Are we going biblical here?
Well, I'm talking about your specific name as
for
a person.
For my cult or as a cult leader?
As a cult leader. I should have clarified the question.
Mother of Truth.
Nice.
I mean, what else could it be?
I don't know what mine would be. It would probably have something to do with Cain.
Cain. Interesting.
I've always liked Cain. I feel he's a vastly misunderstood figure in the Bible. Abel might have had it coming. Abel might have been a little blonde bitch. That's all I'm going to say.
Who's older, Cain or Abel?
Cain.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Anyway.
So Ilchi starts offering just free, like, physical exercise classes in a park. And his first and only, like, initial follower is a man, I believe, who had a stroke. And he's just kind of doing physical therapy with him and, like, teaching him to regain strength and movement and all that. So he kind of starts taking, like, Tai Chi and different martial arts and adjusting them to be more physically attainable, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's in this park that he just starts building up a following, and soon he has enough people that they need to, you know, move inside and get out of the weather and all that stuff. So in 1985, the first Dawn Center opens in Seoul, South Korea.
And just 6 short years later, the first Dawn Center opens in the United States.
Yes. There are tons of these centers, so keep up.
It becomes wildly popular, especially in South Korea. Some of the major corporate entities of South Korea, like Samsung and Hyundai, were actually using his physical teachings to sort of bring inspiration to their employees build morale.
Yeah, that's not actually that uncommon to, like, some places will have, like, employees do, like, a little warm-up. Physical warm-up before their work, because it's good for the body, good for them.
I feel like it's more dignified when you're doing Tai Chi than when you work in, like, a box store and you just jump up and down and, like,
I've seen videos
chant,
of them.
Target, target. That's what I imagine they do.
That sounds like a cult.
At one point, Lee had 127 fitness centers operating continuously.
Yes. Again, this is a blend of yoga, tai chi, and martial arts. Not like, nothing specific. No one specific form of exercise or discipline. Just, yeah. So in 2005, I believe, he changes the name to Body and Brain. We may use those interchangeably. Mm-hmm. So it's currently called Body and Brain, but
that sounds like a store that sells expensive, like, wheatgrass smoothies.
Oh, I was gonna say it sounds like that, like, Mind Games store or Brain Games. Yes. One of those, like,
at the mall.
Yeah, where they sell, like, those tricky little thinking board games. So what does he believe in?
He believes in the HSP movement, which is about health, happiness, and peace. We don't know what the S stands for.
So the ultimate goal... A lot of this we've taken from the propagandist literature that can be found throughout the web about him, especially his Wikipedia page. I would take everything with a grain of salt. It is clearly over-generous.
We also do have some great information, though, from Rolling Stone in an article they wrote in 2010 called The Yoga Cult.
Yes, there's a lot of information out there about this cult. A lot of it is put out by the Dawn Center. And a lot of it is put out by not the Dawn Center. So just be very aware of who has written the information, because mm-hmm. you are going to get much different vibes, I guess, from each one. So it's said that the ultimate goal of this movement is to achieve world peace, which, first of all...
Wow. It's amazing no one else has tried that yet. Solve a lot of our problems.
Wow. I mean, can't believe someone's thought of it.
They've done it.
I'm so proud of him.
They've dreamed the impossible dream.
So he wants to kind of eradicate different identities, basically, and have all humans come together to identify and sort of base our existence off of our shared reliance upon the planet. I believe it's called being an Earth human, which, first of all, what the fuck is that?
Earth human, Earth human.
Is that our hit new song?
No, it's Earth Angel.
Oh.
I was being hilarious.
I don't know music.
I forget you've never seen Back to the Future because you're not a normal human. You're an Earth human.
I'm not an Earth human.
So he really wants everyone to sort of become this sort of hive mind of, like...
Oh my god, it is a hive mind.
We are all one person with the Mother Earth.
Which, I mean... On one hand, I kind of get it. I'm a big fucking hippie, and I love the Earth. But on the other hand, like, we're never gonna eradicate different identities and just all come together like that. I feel like that's a little idealistic.
This is not the I'd like to buy the world a Coke commercial. So Lee starts to recruit people through college campus yoga and tai chi classes.
I feel like it's up to colleges and universities to be a lot more, what is the word?
Mindful.
Of who they're choosing to have speak on their campus.
Maybe do some sort of background check.
Don't invite cult members, maybe?
Even just Google the name of the organization, because when you Google Dawn Yoga, the first thing that comes up is the yoga cult.
Yeah.
Because Dawn Yoga started to realize, obviously when they came here in 1991, that Americans get very into yoga. So he markets it as yoga, but it's not the kind of yoga that we really do. There's not a lot of, you know, sun salutations.
Yeah, they're not like downward dogs and all that.
The real kind of meditation they do when you get there is called brainwave vibrations.
So Hal, may I explain to you how to do brainwave vibration?
Please.
I need you to hold out both of your hands and hold these two $80 vibrating rubber brains, which honestly sound like overpriced sex toys.
Nice, nice.
And just shake your head like a madman. Do you feel more at peace now and all that good shit?
I feel like I'm gonna get a concussion.
Yeah. I think that would really hurt your neck after a while.
Absolutely. Now, this somehow works. And calling this yoga has caused 10,000 of the 500,000 members of the group to be from this country. A lot of them are very motivated college kids.
Yes, a lot of them are female college kids.
The story that I told you at the beginning was actually the experience of a girl who dropped out of graduate school named Amy Shipley to join this cult.
Yes.
They're recruited from the college campuses. It's also very popular among sort of Western American, really rich people.
The wealthy, older elite, kind of.
Exactly.
Yes. And who are always looking to find the hot new thing.
You know, they wear a lot of, like, chunky jewelry, and they live outside San Francisco, or they live in San Francisco because they got their apartment when the city was still falling apart and is rent-controlled, and now they never have to leave. Last year, in this article, I'm sorry, not last year, in 2009, which is the most recent figure we have, Don Yoga pulled in an estimated $30 million from the United States alone, and that's only a fraction of its 1,000 franchises across 9 countries. And that was a direct quote from Rolling Stone.
So there is actually a lot of shit that happens to the cult in 2009 that we will touch base on.
That was a nice time.
Back in 2009, Next to Normal was on Broadway. That's literally the first thing I think of when I hear the year 2009, I think Next to Normal.
Barack Obama had just become president.
Oh my god, it was a simpler, happier time.
It was a safer time.
Mm. So he has a method called the Brain Education System Training, which was, I believe, initially called Brain Respiration. This guy's really into the brain. You're gonna pick up on this.
Maybe he thinks if you say the word brain a lot, it makes you sound like you know what you're talking about.
I think this is not a good idea. Don't do this, but take a shot every time we say brain in this episode.
You'll die.
So, okay, he has a 5-step process for the brain education system training.
Hit me with it.
So the first one is brain sensitizing, stress management, awakening the 5 senses, getting to your prime physical health, and making your brain aware.
Ooh.
The second step is brain versatilizing.
Why do they always make up words?
Versatilizing. Okay, I'm a pretty good reader, but I feel like that's confusing. Mm-hmm. Versatilizing. So that one is the enhanced learning ability through the creation of new synaptic connections. Brain refreshing, which deals with emotional release and control and crafting a positive mental outlook. Then we have brain integrating, Jesus Christ, which just increases communication between the different parts of your brain. Again, this all sounds like made up science. And then brain mastering, which helps you make improved decision making and developing a clear sense of your life's purpose.
And as I said, people paid about $8,000 for retreats where they would attempt to learn this.
People would go thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in debt just to do lectures and seminars and retreats and get overpriced vibrating brains.
Amy Shipley maxed out her credit cards and dropped out of grad school to continue to advance in this cult. Steve Hassan, we've talked about him before.
I think we should have a new feature on this podcast called Hassan's Thoughts.
Yeah, what's up with Steve?
Yeah, what's up with Steve? That's better.
What say Steve?
Okay. You definitely got the right idea. I couldn't think of a catchy title.
That's why I'm an integrated marketing and communications.
So what's up, Steve? His take on this is, quote, Don is a destructive mind control cult, very similar to the Moonies.
You remember our Moonies.
Oh, way back when.
Our marriage episode.
Hundreds of thousands of people in a group marriage.
Again, it was Korean.
Was that one Korean?
Maybe he's just comparing them because he's racist.
No, Steve!
What say Steve on that? So, while he was charging his followers this obscene amount of money, Lee himself was living very well.
Outlandishly, would one say?
He had a private jet, he had a million personal assistants. All of his followers, of course, lived in communal housing, and they were
fucking working themselves to death.
Literally sometimes. In 2008, there was a lawsuit when a college professor...
Yes. So this woman named Julia Siverls, 41-year-old college professor, she died in Arizona. They have a, I want to say, compound in Sedona, Arizona, although I believe it's generously called a retreat here. So she was training to become a Dawn Master. She already had 2 master's degrees. She had a PhD, but she really had her sights set on becoming a Dawn Master. She practiced every day. She was totally committed. So a group of people headed out one morning at the retreat, and they all had some food and water, and then she just kind of collapsed and died with a smile on her face.
But here's why she collapsed, allegedly, because while she was hiking, Lee had her carry 25 pounds of rocks in her backpack.
He needed those rocks carried. Who else was gonna do it, Hal? So that's a great way to just cut down someone in the prime of their life.
And she was kind of the water that broke the dam there.
There was an off-duty sheriff's deputy who was in the area when he actually witnessed the hiking group dealing with her as she was collapsing. Quote, when he spotted 5 people clustered around a woman who, quote, appeared to have difficulty walking, I saw the black woman fall to the ground and land on her hands and knees. Both the man and the woman reached underneath her armpits and tried to lift while continuing to walk. They began dragging her for a short distance. The woman was unable to get to her feet. So it was super hot. They had no water on them.
And they were carrying rocks.
So she died because that is not how one survives in the Arizona desert. And that is a fucking horrible, awful, and completely preventable way to kill someone.
In addition to that, and the one we talked about at the top of the episode, they were also known to have to turn off all the lights in the compound and dance and scream for hours until they fell over from exhaustion.
A lot of tears. Everyone's always crying to show how devoted they are to
Maybe they're just crying because it's uncomfortable.
I mean, I'm sure that's a part of it, but like in every article, you're gonna find mention of how the members are constantly weeping.
Yeah.
It's really unsettling.
It's very unsettling.
Yeah.
Amy Shipley also says that she and a dozen other members began each morning by yelling, "I am stupid," and hitting themselves in the stomach.
Yes, lots of
Deprecating?
Self-deprecating, but not the fun kind.
Just the
kind where you're like, I'm concerned about you.
Which I feel like the regular fun kind can get to at a certain point.
Oh, for sure.
Like when you see those comedians where they make like 3 jokes about killing themselves, you're like, do you need me to call somebody?
Absolutely.
You don't have to do this if you don't want to. I can get you some water. So Julia's death is sort of the water that broke the dam.
Yes.
In 2009, a lawsuit against Lee was brought by 27 of his former members.
That is a pretty good number, sadly.
It was not just related to her death. It was also accusing him of not paying them and breaking wage, breaking immigration laws because they were in Arizona. It's right by Mexico and people were moving around a lot.
Yep.
Evading taxes and sexually abusing female disciples.
And Hallie, let's just pause here for a second. Could you possibly imagine sort of the environment he was building to sexually abuse female disciples?
I could probably take a wild guess.
Do you want to take a wild shot in the dark?
I think he was telling them that this was a special honor.
Wow. What a unique and original idea for a man to say that.
Such a fresh idea to tell a woman that it's an honor to be raped.
Wow. Anyway.
Jesus Christ. Where are they now?
Sadly, this lawsuit was dropped, and apparently the lawyer that they were using was kind of not great. So
we should get them a better lawyer.
I know, because it sounds like there is a lot of shit that they could get him for. They filed a wrongful death suit against him in relation to Julia, but I believe he was found not guilty or not responsible or anything just because I think they said there was no evidence of like a transaction between Julia and Lee where like that directly, he directly put her on that mountain. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which sounds like a cop-out.
It sounds like a lawyer trick.
Yeah.
So, Lee is actually no longer running the Dawn Centers.
Officially.
He's in his early 60s. 15 U.S. cities.
Early? He just turned, what, 66, 67?
I thought they said he was 57 in that article from 7 years.
Well, he's born in 1950, and his birthday is the 23rd, remember?
Whatever. Lee is now in his 60s.
Yes.
And 15 U.S. cities have an Ilchi Lee Day to celebrate him.
Yes. In 2009, I believe, he gave a talk at the U.N., he hosted a seminar called The Role of Brain Education in Global Mental Health. And on that day, January 8th, New York declared it to be Brain Education Day in honor of all the good work he has done.
He is good at casting a spell over people. When Amy Shipley was asked, you know, what the hell made you stay, she said, I was a good little cult member. I would have drank the Kool-Aid laced with cyanide if they told me to. I would have chopped off my right arm. I would have done anything.
In 2000, Lee became director of the Tao Fellowship, and he opened the Sedona Ilchi Meditation Center in Sedona, Arizona, which we discussed. Although these days, it's called the Sedona Mago Retreat Center. Mago, I believe, is South Korean for Mother Earth, I want to say. And he's published a lot of books.
Shocker.
Which all seem very propaganda-ish.
And self-published. So that is where he's based, and it's all because one guy started doing Tai Chi in a park. So maybe don't do Tai Chi in the park anymore. I'm just kidding. It's great exercise, but like, do it with people you trust. Don't Tai Chi alone.
Friends don't let friends Tai Chi alone.
And that's our lesson for today.
All right. Anything else?
I'm real tired. How are you doing?
I just had my, like, 8th cup of coffee today. About to hit the road, drive to Newport, Rhode Island.
That sounds nice. I'm going to drive the 2 miles back to my parents' house and probably take a nap.
Sounds good.
See you later, kids. Contact us at cultsoverlives@gmail.com. We are trying to respond to you. We have quite a volume.
Yes.
Be patient with us. You can also follow us on Twitter at Hallie Regina and Anastasia.
No, at Wednesday Sister.
Her last name means Wednesday in Russian. That's where the Wednesday comes from.
Yes.
I'm taking away your mystery just because they're going to be like, what the fuck is that?
Yes.
Thanks, guys. Be cool.